your life today.
John chapter 6. And we want to commence reading at verse 66, recorded of these words. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, following Jesus, lifestyle or lip service? Following Jesus, lifestyle or lip service? We would need to back up into the text to read just so that there might be fruitful understanding and why this issue arises. And you'll know that Jesus is ministering and a great feast has been wrought with 5 loaves and the fish and the 5 loaves and the bread and multiplied, and 5,000 folk were fed. And a lot of folk didn't see the miracles, but they ate the food. And they followed Jesus not so much because of what he had said, but rather what he had done. And when Jesus created such a wonderful miracle out of what he had done for those who knew it, it posed another problem then. Were they honestly following him for who he was or for what he did? Were they really interested in him for the substance of the man, or were they following him for another miracle that would soon come? Now, when we look at this and we see this, and Jesus deals with this, he also has to encounter that there are some folk following him who are not following him for the right reason. And that's still evident today, that everybody that is in the church is not necessarily in the church to follow Jesus, but there are ulterior motives, there are other reasons, and some are here because they are forced to be here. Whether that's from family, meaning mothers and fathers, or husbands or wives, or seeking someone, whatever the issue is, they're here for many of the wrong reasons. But I want you to see something here, because Jesus deals with this in verse 22, and I just want to read through some of this as much as I can. He says, the day following, the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, that they, after that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now keep this in mind. Underscore this, if you will, in your Bibles. He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Your work in terms of what matters most to God is not being in a servitude position, simply serving or ministering, but first realizing that the work of God is believing on whom God has sent as the Savior of the world and the Redeemer of mankind. And listen to this, because when I looked at this, it says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it may not be as easy to believe the Lord as it appears to be. Sometimes you got to work to believe on the Lord. Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Because doubt comes up, fear comes up, issues come up, situations come up that try and take your focus off of him, and you got to work to hold on and say, I believe what he said. He's no man that he should lie. I'm going to hold on to the truth. You got to work your faith sometime to say that if God said it, that settles it. I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what I'm feeling. I believe him, and that takes some work sometime. Touch your neighbor and say, it takes some work sometime. Because when God don't show up after, like Jeremiah, he told you he's going to do some stuff, and years pass by and you become bitter instead of better because you are not holding on and working on that faith because things have shifted your view from him to you. And so you start having pity parties and you start looking at other folk and judging their seasons and wondering, you talk about you're a good person and you do this and why is this happening? You don't understand. If he's taking longer, it's because it's got some better stuff he's working up for you. And because it's a bigger situation and a better situation, there are more intricate connections and detail. There are some things when you want something big, it takes a little longer to get than little stuff. It ain't that he couldn't do it instantaneously, but what many of us don't understand sometimes is while he's working on the big stuff, he's also working on us, getting us ready for what it is we can have. Listen again. Verse 30 said, they said therefore unto him, what sign showeth thou then that we may see and believe thee? What does thou work? Now, they didn't really see the miracle. They just ate from it. Now they're saying, now we ate and we were filled, but now we won't see something now. You told us the work is that we got to believe, but for us to believe, we got to what? See something now. Look at what they say. They say, what sign showest thou then that we may see? See, man always wants to get into the flesh and into the natural. Sign. See. Jesus spoke and they were to hear. The word is not seen, it is heard and felt, and it does what God says, especially in our lives when faith activates it. But they want to see. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, some of us would probably be a whole lot further in our Christian walk if we didn't see so much. It amazed me at some of the people who were blind and had the opportunity to see physically, and they turned it down. People with the knowledge of breaking signs that would give them the ability to see, and they said, no, I think I'll do better staying the way that I am. I read that in one article and I was amazed. I was like, why wouldn't you want to see? But it's amazing because though the sight was gone, many of the other senses were strengthened. And so they lived more by faith than many of us with sight. And I've got news for you. It didn't make sense to the natural, but it does in the spirit, because the word has already said, if you got something that's offending you, you need to, if it's your eyes, pluck it out. If it's your hand, cut it off. If it's, you know what, if your feet were taking you to places it ought not go, the word said it'd be better you cut them off. You ain't got to say amen. If you just had a habit of picking up stuff, you know, if you just happen to be a kleptomaniac, can't help it. It calls your name, pick me up. You don't need it, you don't want it. You know, if stealing is just a part of who you become, the word says you need to cut off the stealers. Y'all will catch that later. So that way all you do have none. Oh, I just touch it. Maybe you might be sitting next to a klepto. That's why I did not laugh. But all I'm trying to help you understand is sometimes what we deem as valuable to us can actually be the very contrary to the reality of what makes us right with God. And so in this same word, we see that they needed a sign to believe when Jesus has told them that the work is simply to believe what God has done. And verse 31 says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Verse 32 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Now, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Jesus said, "You won't see a miracle?
All right.
You're looking at, I am the miracle that was sent from heaven. I am the real bread. The stuff that Moses gave was only temporary when he prayed and God interceded in the situation of man and gave to them fresh baked bread every day. Jesus said, but they still were hungry tomorrow. For 40 years they hungered and were fed every day. He says, but I'm the real bread, the true bread, and when you taste of me, you will never hunger again, nor will you thirst. Speaking about the spiritual desire of man to be filled with that part of the spiritual part of his makeup, meaning that he is then one again with his creator. Jesus says, I am the bread that you need to fulfill that hunger underneath the skin. So notice what he says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? He's a bald-faced. I know he didn't come from heaven, because I remember when he came here. We know his mama and his daddy. How is he going to say this? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father, speaking of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna. Now notice he makes a distinction between bread of life and manna. Manna was considered bread, but it was also in the form of temporary solution to a permanent problem. He is bread, which is a permanent substance that will take care of the permanent problem. And so he makes sure they understand, verse 48, I am that bread of life, not the bread of flesh. He far surpasses that. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He says, now, I'm the bread of life. You eat of me, you will not die. Now, you want to talk about your fathers? You want to talk about that temporary bread? I told you it was temporary solution. And the reason why I know that is because they ate and they are still dead right now. You eat of me, you will never die. Now, listen again to what he says. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live how long? Forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world, meaning giving himself on the cross of Calvary. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now they're thinking cannibalism. Wait a minute. Oh, no, no, he is truly true. First he lied and say he came from heaven. We know his mama and his daddy. Now he tells us he's the living bread and he's going to give us his flesh to eat. That's cannibalism. And then on top of that, look at what he says. For my flesh, well, so whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now look again at something here now. Not only does he talk about eating his flesh, but now he's talking about drinking his blood. That goes all against the word of God, because they were not supposed to consume blood. Blood was, of course, the lifeline of any living thing, and so therefore it was forbidden to be eaten or drink. Here, all of these things conflict with the teachings that they know, and so this does not make sense to them. When the Bible says, again, Jesus says, whoso, verse 54, eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Now look at this, because when you see this, you're going to see that he says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, Jesus has introduced a revolutionary thought process to their thinking. Now, if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we're going to have a part in him, because he's going to live in us. Now, this is the concept. If I eat his flesh and I drink his blood, which is some other cultures, each Eastern culture's concept, that you are what you eat. They figured, if you wanted to be strong like a tiger, you would eat tigers or bears, etc., and so forth. Take different parts from those animals and consume them, and you then assume their power and their ability. They are thinking alike, like a lot of the heathenistic cults and cultures thought. They're like, man, what is he saying? This does not make sense. It goes against the word of God. And yet, he says the only way that we can follow him is if we do these things. Yeah. Verse 59 says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, listen at this, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And look at what he's saying. He says, I want you to get out of the flesh for a moment. I want you to get out of the natural and understand what I'm really saying. I'm not talking about eating my natural flesh and drinking my natural blood. What I am speaking about is of the spirit realm. The words that I am speaking of, they are the ones that, again, you must digest. It is the ultimate reality of what I'm saying. I am not asking you to do this in the flesh. I'm asking you to take it to the spirit realm. I'm asking you to understand it from the vantage point of the spirit realm, not the flesh realm. Now look at what the word says. The words, verse 64 says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. We got all the way there to get to this point here to help you understand that people will follow a cause as long as the cause don't cost them nothing. If it looks like it's a good cause, if it looks like it's a worthy cause, if it looks like it's something that will work all good and there is something they can gain from it, they will come close to it and maybe even embrace it as long as it doesn't require anything that causes them to have to give. It's amazing, you know, people like to come and it's something when they always want to come to your house and eat up your food, but they don't ever say, you know what, I just want to be a blessing to you. You're just such a blessing. You know, they want to come and ride in your car, but they never ask, you know, can I just treat you to some gas? Y'all getting quiet on me. It's amazing. They'll come and they'll sit and worship in your church till you say, we crowded now. We need to build a bigger church and we need you all to help. Then all of a sudden now, they want to go where they don't have no building program going on. I can keep on going down the line. I'm just trying to help you. When it comes the time where those who have gotten for free need to stand up and give something back to what has given to them, it's amazing how they can find a world of excuses or reasons now not to believe. But I like the way Jesus has helped me in this situation. He sees, first of all, he already knew who wasn't real. Now, unlike me, Jesus let him stay. I mean, you know, I'd have been like, look, no, I'm sorry. I know you don't believe. No, I believe, because I'd have made him prove it right then and there. See, I told you didn't believe. Now, we ain't going to waste each other's time. Go on about your business. But Jesus gave him a chance. But look at this, because I want you to see something else. When they decided to go, he decided not to go after them. Why is it? Don't the words say that he'll leave the 99 and go after that one sheep? But that's the qualifier. Sheep. You go after your lost sheep. And there is a difference between sheep and wolves and sheep and goat and sheep and I can keep on naming some other animals. I'm not required to go after them. Only, and then I got to tell you this, you got to know that every sheep that wanders in your path or in your pasture isn't yours. And so you got to understand what isn't yours ain't going to stay in your flock. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. So that's why when you see some folk and they're here for a while and they're not here, they might have found out that this wasn't their pasture and this wasn't their place, and they move on, and praise be to God for them, because folk in the wrong place cause confusion, trouble. I wish I had somebody here. Because they're disoriented and they can't get with the program and they can't hear, because God gives sheep to shepherds and shepherds to sheep, and they can only hear from the one God has given to them. Having gotten lost and winded up where some other sheep are don't mean it's your fault. And so you can be in the place causing havoc because you can't hear what the shepherd is saying, because that's not where you ought to be. That's why I tell folk, if you're not in your right place, get in your right place. Because some folk who are supposed to be here and can't hear because all of the mess you're making and the confusion around them you're making while they're trying to pay attention. And so Jesus was trying to say something to us here as he did them. Look at what the Bible says, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. A better rendering of that would be many of the disciples who went with Jesus went no more with him, because his real disciples stayed. Listen to this. Then said Jesus unto the 12 will ye also go away? Now, see, that would have floored some pastors, some shepherds, to see a flock of folk walk away and say, it's too hard. I can't hear that, man. That's too deep for me. I'm sorry. We can't do that. I'm gone. Some of them would have changed their doctrine to appeal and please them. Some would have changed their style of preaching to accommodate them. Some would have apologized for the saying being hard. Sweeten it up to make it more palatable and digestible. But Jesus up there make it more palatable. Goodbye. And then he turns to the 12 that he handpicked. And he said, will you also go away? Because he said, while they... Now, you know, you got to know who you are. You got to know where you are. You got to know where you're going. And you got to know you can get there by yourself if nobody else wants to go with you. Because there reaches a point in your time of life and season where you're tired of all of the folk who are faking and playing and aren't serious. They ain't helping the cause no way.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to Inspire, inspiring the world through the Word of God. And now, the host of Inspire, Pastor Philip R. Taylor.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inspire. So glad to be with you again today. What a blessing it is to be here. God is so good. The Bible says his mercies are renewed day by day, and we're just so happy that God is a blessing and a God of mercy, and that it is renewed each day. We need him every day. We need him every day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to keep us and guide us and direct us in your way, in your will, that we may do those things which are pleasing to your sight, and that you would get all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Once again, we're here with you. We're excited about being here. There's so much going on. There's so many people who are really just at a point right now that there's a lot going on in your life. I want you to know that God is with you. He hadn't forgotten about you. He promised in his word not to leave you or forsake you. And he also promised in his word that he sends us another comforter. And it's that comforter that reminds us of who we are in Christ. But sometimes we have a tendency to reach back and try to pull back some other things. And Satan has a way of bringing up what you were, where you came from, how you used to be. And I often tell people, we all